offenses class. And our speaker is Steve Fagan. Steve Fagan is the full-time prosecutor in the city of McKinney. He has been there for several years now. He's a graduate of the University of Illinois, where he received his bachelor degree in finance and economics, and then went to law school at the University of Texas. And prior to becoming the prosecutor in McKinney, Mr. Fagan served as a staff attorney for the Sixth Court of Appeals in Texarkana. Please help me welcome our speaker, Steve Fagan.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Yep. Technical delay. How's that? Wow, that's good. Okay, I can hear me. Thank you. Okay, how many of y'all know where McKinney is? Where McKinney is, that's where I work. It's a city just about half an hour north of Dallas. So it's in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex on 75 as you drive north. It's about 130,000 people. How many people here are work in a town bigger than McKinney? More than 130,000 people? So everybody's less than 130,000. Great. Okay, we can work that out. All right, we're going to talk about driver's license violations in Texas. And what we're planning on covering here today is just what is a driver's license? What are the violations that you can cite for somebody? How do they differ one from another? Are they mutually exclusive? We're going to run through various scenarios about what to cite and when. And we're also going to talk about compliance dismissals and how those operate. But before we do any of that, let's go through something kind of cool. Okay, this is I want to teach you how to spot a fake ID. I mean, a phony driver's license. This is the older version of the driver's license. Has anybody seen the new version of the driver's license live and in person, not just pictures of it? I saw mine the first time the other day. Somebody pulled one out in court. And I wanted to make a copy of it so I could put it on the presentation, but I didn't think that would go over too well with him, so I decided not to do that. But this is the older version, and it'll be around for quite a while, so we're going to learn some things about how to spot when somebody is presenting you with a fake ID. All right, a couple of things I'd like you to notice is just, first of all, glance at the different fonts here and the different colors. They're not randomly chosen. They're supposed to be that way. Texas is supposed to be red. Driver's license is supposed to be red. These are all cap fonts here, all cap fonts down here, and all cap fonts in the name and address and so forth. This is Lois Wright. Maybe some of you may remember her. She used to work for the center, and I stole this presentation from her, and she's the one who kind of taught me a lot of this stuff. If you had your electron microscope here, you would see that if you pull out your driver's license, that might be something you could do. You might see this around the edge of the seal of the state of Texas. There's little words that says the seal of the state of Texas. And if you got good eyesight or you have a magnifying glass, you can see that. And by this flag, around the edges of the flag, it says state of Texas. There's all throughout the driver's license, there's like a hologram that says state of Texas. That's another way that they've tried to make it so that people don't create false IDs or anything like that. They've tried to create this little hologram so that that makes it more difficult to duplicate. Notice the signature here, Thomas A. Davis, Jr., Director. It may look like they messed this up. Okay, maybe they should have used the picture as the line, or maybe they embossed the picture or the signature over the picture and wrong. They didn't. They do that intentionally. The signature is supposed to be bordering, covering both the picture and the white part here. And if you see somebody who hasn't, a driver's license hasn't done that, that can be a tip for you that this is a fake ID. How many of you know what this little code here means? Has anybody ever seen that before? Got a couple hands raised. Okay. This first thing right here, 06, is the year in which this driver's license was issued. Now, the new driver's license actually you know, surprisingly enough, has issue date on it. So you don't have to guess anymore about when the driver's license was issued. This 250 right here says that that was the 250th day of 2006. So you have to do some mathematics to figure out what the 250th day of 2006 was, and then you'll know what date that driver's license was issued. Now, when would that be necessary? How long, why would you need to know that? Somebody said compliance dismissal. That's exactly right. You'd need to know that for compliance dismissals for certain violations. For example, an expired driver's license, they come and they present you at this driver's license here and tell you, I got this renewed. And sure enough, there's an expiration date, and so you can see that it was renewed, but you can't tell when. Was it done within the period prescribed by the law or not? This little code down here will help you recognize and figure out whether that was done on time or not. Okay? So you can figure out, well, this was done on the 250th day of 2006. Let's say that's September 7th of 2006. And if they got the citation in September 1st of 2006, you know, yeah, they got that done in time, so they're eligible for the compliance dismissal. Moving over here, this 06 here is a code for the DPS office that issued the driver's license. Yours may be 8 or 9 or 10, something like that. That's a code to show the driver's license office. And then these four numbers here, this is going to just... is another thing to sort of trap the unwary fake ID maker. These numbers here are supposed to add up to 10, 20, or 30. If they don't add up to 10, 20, or 30, you know that they just threw some numbers in there in the hopes that nobody would be the wiser. Okay? Let's move on to this next thing right here. So a couple other things on the back of the driver's license. By the way, let me go back real quick, if I can. Okay, how does the driver's license for somebody who's under 21 look? Anybody seen one of those? I see a couple motions there. Yeah, they're vertical, so that's a feature of those. So on the back here, you notice still we're dealing with first this magnetic strip. If you pull your driver's license out and you look at it from the side, and what I mean by that is if I can pull it, I'll pull some card out of my pocket. I'm not sure it's going to be the driver's license. Okay, but if you look at the driver's license like this, you'll see that the magnetic stripe borders on the edge. Again, they did that on purpose. So you could tell at a glance whether somebody just made this stupid thing or altered it some way, or whether it's actually made or tried to be made authentically by the Department of Public Safety. That's this magnetic stripe That's that magnetic stripe right here. And then there's some other things. Notice down here this I in directive. There's no dot over the I in directive, but there is one over physician, the I is in physician, and the I is in filed, and the I in allergic, the I, well, in corrective, and with also. So that's another thing that they're just trying to put on there so that you could tell at a glance whether somebody made a fake ID or not. All right, any questions on that? I liked that when I learned it, so I thought I'd share it with y'all. Okay, let's talk about what a driver's license is. First, the law defines it. State law defines it as an authorization issued by the Department of Public Safety for the operation of a motor vehicle. And it's not just the driver's license you carry around with you. It also includes an occupational driver's license that a court would issue after somebody lost their driver's license for one reason. A prominent reason would be they got a DWI and they applied to the court for occupational driver's license. That's considered a driver's license. So if somebody, for example, wants to take a driving safety course and all they have is an occupational driver's license, That's a valid driver's license. They qualify to take a driving safety course for that reason. The temporary licenses are those little cards that you get when you go to renew your driver's license at the Department of Public Safety, and they give you the temporary card and then they mail you the driver's license later. That's what a temporary driver's license is. And then instruction permits that young people have. Those are all authorizations issued by the Department of Public Safety for the operation of a motor vehicle. All right, there's four types of driver's license. There's Class A, B, C, and M. I put down on the PowerPoint and also in the paper that I wrote and is included in the materials just the various differences of what qualifies as a Class A, Class B, Class C driver's license and so forth. The main things I want to hit on for you here are first that not all commercial driver's license holders, or not all Class A driver's license holders are commercial driver's license holders. Does anybody know how you can tell whether somebody's a commercial driver's license holder? Yeah, it's got commercial driver's license written across the top, just under, around where it says Department of Public Safety. Just look at the driver's license, or you can run their driving record. It'll be listed on the drive. Have somebody, maybe a marshal or a police officer, run a driving record, and it'll say commercial driver's license on there. Other than that, if it says Class A, it isn't necessarily, or even Class B, it isn't necessarily a commercial driver's license. So that's a trap for the unwary. Sometimes people just assume automatically that, oh, it's Class A, it must be commercial driver's license. That's not necessarily so. So be aware of that, because you, as you know, commercial driver's license holders are not eligible for defensive driving or driving safety courses, it's called, or deferred probation. They're not eligible in municipal court for that. But if they have a Class A driver's license but not a commercial driver's license, then they are eligible, and you want to keep that in mind. The other thing I'd like to point out to you is just that a Class A driver's license holder can also drive a Class B vehicle, a Class Z vehicle, but not a Class M, which is motorcycles or mopeds. Class M is sort of a special class of driver's license. In order to get the Class M driver's license, you have to go through a specific training, and then you add that on. So you can have a C and an M, or an A and an M, and a B or a B and an M. But you can also that's for you to drive a motorcycle or a moped. Okay, who needs a Texas driver's license? The default rule, right? Now what we're getting into here is we're going to talk about, well, what about people from out of state or even out of country who have driver's license issued by the state in which they reside or the country in which they reside? But the default rule in Texas is that anyone who operates a motor vehicle on a highway in Texas must have a Texas driver's license. All right? That's a default rule. That doesn't mean that there aren't exceptions, and there are. Here are the exceptions. Okay? If you're serving in the state or U.S. military forces and you're operating a vehicle in the scope of that service, so how many of y'all have a military base where you live? Okay, a couple people here. So you may see vehicles driven by military personnel. They're military vehicles. Those folks don't have to, that's an exception to the rule. They don't have to have a Texas driver's license if they're operating the vehicle in the scope of their service in the military. A person operating a road machine or a farm tractor or implement of husbandry, whatever that is, unless the vehicle is designated as a commercial motor vehicle. A non-resident on active duty in the armed forces who holds a license issued by his or her state or Canadian province of residence. So how that works is, let's say somebody from California is stationed at a military base in Texas, and they've been stationed in Texas for 4 years, and they have a California driver's license. They're not, even though they reside in Texas, they're not required to have a Texas driver's license because they're in the United States military. And that privilege extends not only to them, but to the spouse or dependent person of the person, of that person who holds a license issued by that state. So their spouse, who has a California driver's license, can continue to drive on that California driver's license as long as it's valid in Texas without getting a Texas driver's license. It's an exception to the default rule that anyone who operates a motor vehicle on a highway in Texas must have a Texas driver's license. And then the fifth thing is a non-resident who meets the qualifications of Texas law. So this is an important exception, because anyone who operates a motor vehicle in Texas has to have a Texas driver's license, but a non-resident who meets the qualifications of Texas law does not have to have a Texas driver's license. So what is a non-resident? All right. A resident is one who actually and physically resides in Texas. Now this is a recent change, and where you find this is in, and that's in, it's in my paper, there's an administrative code rule that the Department of Public Safety has put in the administrative code. An administrative code is a body of regulations that state agencies put forth after public hearing and so forth, and those operate to kind of clarify and an understanding of the law. And so they've made this statement here that one who actually and physically resides in Texas. Now, it used to be that it used to say that one who is domiciled in Texas, and domicile is a kind of a legal term that means something a little bit more specific. There's a test for domicile under state law. You know, just how long have you lived here? Do you have permanent property here? Do you have an intent to return to your home state? Those types of issues our domicile. But this is a little bit looser. This is actually and physically resides in Texas. Okay, that means that pretty much anybody who resides here physically is considered a resident. Right? Anybody else is one who is not a resident, is a non-resident. And so whether someone is a resident of Texas is ultimately a fact question for the court. Now, this gets complicated because sometimes you see people from, let's say, another country, let's say Bolivia, and they're driving in Texas, and let's say they have a Bolivian driver's license. Now, I use Bolivia but the most obvious example is Mexico. But let's say that we're talking about other countries. Bolivia, they have a Bolivian driver's license, but they live in Texas. Are they a resident or a non-resident? Ultimately, that's a fact question, and the question revolves around, under the regulations promoted by the Department of Public Safety, whether they actually and physically reside here. So that it gets a little complicated, and you folks who are judges, you may have to deal with that kind of question. When somebody gets a citation for not driving without a driver's license, and they present to you an out-of-state or out-of-country driver's license, what do you do? You know, what are the arguments? In my court, I try to discern, well, do they actually physically reside here? How long have they resided here? What's the proof of residency? How long have they lived here? Do they own property? For example, what I do sometimes is our appraisal district has a website, and I'll look up their address, and I'll see that they own this property, and I can see when they bought this property. So let's say they bought this property in 2006. There's sort of a presumption here that maybe they've lived in Texas since 2006, and so they are a resident, and they should have had a Texas driver's license by now. Another thing I might do is I might look and see at their history in the court. Maybe they've had other citations issued in the court, let's say from 2005 or 2003 or something like that, and I begin to build a case to argue this person's really a resident of Texas. And if they're a resident of Texas, then they need to have a Texas driver's license. Okay, so we clarify the understanding of residents versus non-residents. So let's talk first about drivers with out-of-state driver's licenses. First, we're going to talk about non-residents. These are folks who don't actually and physically reside in Texas. The law on this is that if the person is 16 years old and has a Class B, C, or Class M equivalent driver's license issued by their state of residence, then they can drive a vehicle that would be appropriate for a Class C or Class M driver's license. So if I have an Ohio driver's license and I'm not a resident of Texas, I can drive, and I'm over 16, as you can tell, I can drive in Texas for as long as I'm not a resident. I have a non-resident, I can drive on that driver's license as long as it remains valid. There's a similar provision here for Class A and Class B driver's license holders. They have to be over 18 years old, and they have to be holders of a Class B or Class A or Class B equivalent driver's license issued by their state, operating the type of vehicle permitted by a Class A or Class B driver's license. And the other state has to provide reciprocal driving privileges to Class A and Class B driver's license holders. How do you find that out? You got to go to the Department of Public Safety and ask. Go to their website. They have a list of those reciprocal driver's license states. Okay, so these are non-residents, and they can drive on the driver's license from out of state, California, New Mexico, Oklahoma, wherever. As long as they're not a resident of Texas, they can continue to drive on their Texas driver's or on their out-of-state driver's license. Okay, now let's talk about drivers with out-of-state driver's license, those who are Texas residents. Okay, and if you might have seen this, you might have seen somebody from Pennsylvania, the officer pulls them over, they whip out their Pennsylvania driver's license, they hand it to the officer, and the officer is thinking, well, you've got a Texas residence. Your insurance card is from Texas. In conversation with you, I've learned that you've lived in Texas for 2 years. And so, you know, why haven't you gotten a Texas driver's license by now? And it turns out that that's the law. New residents may operate a motor vehicle on a highway in Texas for 30 days if they're at least 16 years or old and have in their possession a driver's license issued by their state of previous residence. So the law is that once you become a resident, you can drive on your out-of-state driver's license for 30 days. After that 30 days, you have to get a Texas driver's license. Okay, make sense? I see some head nod. All right, good. After that, have to have a Texas driver's license, as I said. Let's move on. All right, Now let's talk about other countries, drivers with driver's licenses from other countries. First, we're going to talk about non-residents. These are people who don't meet the test of residency as residents of Texas, non-residents. They're visitors, even if they're on an extended stay. They're visitors. The law in Texas is that if they're at least 18 years old and they're in possession of a Class A or Class B equivalent driver's license issued by their country of residence, operating the type of vehicle permitted by a Class A or Class B driver's license, and if their country provides reciprocal driving privileges to Class A and Class B driver's license holders from the United States in their country, then they can drive on that driver's license. That's valid to drive on. And you see this with folks who are, you know, let's say, commercial motor vehicle operators driving from one country into the United States. They can do that. As long as they have a driver's license issued by their country of residence, Class A or Class B equivalent, and their country honors similar our driver's licenses in their country, our Class A and Class B driver's licenses in their country. All right? Next thing. Now, let's talk about non-commercial driver's license holders or non-Class A, Class B driver's license. These are typically Class C driver's license holders, just people driving normal passenger vehicles. There's, again, this is a cite to the Texas Administrative Code. It's 37 TAC section 15.91. That's in the paper that I wrote for you. And basically, this is governed by treaty. The United States has entered into treaties with a whole bunch of countries that basically set out the rules for how long or how long a person can drive on their out-of-country driver's license if they're not a resident, right? All right, so if they're between 18 and 75 and been in the United States no more than 1 year, operating on a private vehicle with a registration insignia, oval sign, or plaque affixed to the rear of the vehicle, what does that mean? Let me tell you. If you're driving from, say, another country, driving your car, and you're a resident of another country, and you're driving your car across the border, you have to have this oval sign or insignia or plaque affixed to the rear of the vehicle. If you're just driving a car that's registered in the United States, then that's a different matter. But that's what that's all about, just driving your car across the border. And you have a valid driver's license issued by your home country or an international driving permit issued by an entity authorized by the United States Department of State, then, and the home country is a treaty country, then you can drive on that driver's license. So let's break that down. First of all, the driver's license issued by the home country, that's straightforward enough. You're from Venezuela. You have a Venezuelan driver's license. You can drive on your Venezuelan driver's license as long as you meet the other requirements of the administrative code rule. But you can also apply for an international driving permit. Now, don't be confused by this. There are fly-by-night operations that will try to sell you on the idea that there is such a thing as an international driver's license that you can drive, that you can have and drive anywhere in the world. It's issued by who knows who. That's fraud, right? What this is something that the United States Department of State, the State Department, has authorized certain entities to issue. I think AAA is one, and there's another one that's included in the paper. And basically, that allows somebody to apply to AAA and say, can I have this international driving permit? And they present, and AAA goes through it and looks at it and says, okay, you meet the requirements of the law and the treaties, so we're going to issue this international driving permit. It's not in the, you know, if you're from Argentina, it's not in Spanish or whatever. So it's in English, so if an officer pulls you over, he can read it and try and understand it. So the basic point is that if you're operating a vehicle from another country, or if you're operating a vehicle and you're from another country and you're between 18 and 75 and your country is a treaty country and you haven't been in the United States for more than a year, then you're good to go. Okay? That includes people from Mexico, that includes people from Canada, it includes people from Venezuela, it includes people from all over the world. Cyprus, I had one guy from Cyprus, had a driver's license from Cyprus, and the officer, you know, didn't really understand the law. I issued him a no driver's license charge, and he had proof that he was visiting the United States, and all these things were true, and Cyprus is a treaty country, so I had to drop that charge because that was good. That was a good driver's license to go. The main issue you need to understand, though, is it's not so much an issue of is their driver's license valid from their country in Texas? The issue is whether they're a resident or a non-resident, right? Once you understand that, then you begin to see what the law requires them to do. And that's what we're going to talk about next. Okay, we're talking now about drivers with driver's license from other countries who are Texas residents. New residents, again, they can operate a motor vehicle on a highway in Texas for 30 days if they're at least 16 years old and have in their possession a driver's license issued by their country of previous residence. In other words, if I move to the United States from France and I have a French driver's license, I can drive on that French driver's license for 30 days, and after 30 days, I have to get a Texas driver's license. Okay? So the test becomes, does this person reside in Texas or not? Not so much, you know, whether they have a right to be in the country or whether they have documentation to show what their legal status is or whether they have a visa or anything like that. It's whether they reside here or not. And once you figure out whether they reside here or not, the analysis becomes straightforward. If they do, then they have to have had a Texas driver's license within 30 days. All right. That's a lot to throw at you pretty quickly, and I'm not sure how much of it, you know, after lunch kind of sinks in, but are there any questions about this so far? Do you have one? Her question is, what about students who are from Mexico who are studying in the United States and they have, say, a Mexico driver's license? Is that right? And Mexico is a treaty country, so how does this affect them? They reside here. You know what? I wish I had a simple answer to that. I wish I could point you to a grid or something that would go, here's some things to look at, and if you go down this vertically and across horizontally and you see, yep, they needed a Texas driver's license. The truth is that, again, residency is a question of fact for the court. They have to decide whether you're a resident or not. Do they actually and physically reside in the United States? Whatever that means. I can only tell you that that's what DPS says a resident is. Now, I think they actually and physically reside in the United States, so I think they need to get a Texas driver's license. Would that hold up in court? I don't know. I'm a prosecutor, so my job is to present the state's evidence and the state's arguments. And here's my state's argument on that. They actually and physically reside here, as the law requires. They've actually and physically resided here for longer than 30 days, so they need a Texas driver's license, period, end of story. They're going to come back and go, well, Judge, I don't really actually and physically reside here. I actually physically reside in Mexico. I'm just here visiting, studying, and so forth. And you who are judges have to wade through that, figure out the law, read it, research it, and come to some sort of wise interpretation and understanding. Good luck on that, okay? Because I don't have much more wisdom to give you than that. Yes, sir? His point is, if they have a student visa or a work visa from another country that permits them to be in the United States, then he goes ahead and honors that. And I frankly think with a permanent residence in the country in which they're from, then I think that's a fairly good, straightforward analysis, actually. That tends to show that they're visiting more than they're residing. Yeah? Okay. Yes, sir? Yes, ma'am, rather? Yes. If you go back to... you go back here, this is the Texas Administrative Code site, 37 TAC section 15.91 has a list of all the treaty countries. And I may have included one in your paper. I can't remember. Yes, ma'am? The question she's asking is for young people who live in Texas, let's say somebody lives in McKinney where I'm from, and they go to school at one of the schools, say in Odessa or Midland, what's the rule on them having to change their address? And that's a very good question. It kind of goes along with the idea of failure to report change of address, which is a violation that we're going to discuss in a few seconds. my answer to that is, again, I present the state's evidence and the state's argument. My argument is that they reside in Midland for longer than 30 days, so they needed to change the address on their driver's license. And then when they move, if they move back for longer than 30 days, then they need to change the address on their driver's license. That's my argument. Their argument is, well, I don't really live in Midland. I really live in McKinney. I'm there in Midland for 3 months, and then I come home for a month, and then I'm there for another 3 months, and then I come home for 3 months. So I don't really live there. I'm just, you know, down there going to school. And you who are judges have to wade through that and kind of decide with the wisdom that God gave you what the right answer to that question is. I don't know. My own take on it is that as a prosecutor, I have to be very flexible in that sort of thing. I mean, you have to do what's right as long in addition to what appears to be legal under these circumstances. This is to me it's a gray area, and you have to be fair and right. You have to listen to what they say, how long they're there. A lot of people make that argument, but then when you scratch the surface of it, you find out, you know what, you really don't live in McKinney anymore. You know, you're there for, you know, 9, 10, 11 months out of the year. You're back in McKinney for 1 month to visit your folks, but you're down there, you're working, you're going to school. You may not have realized it, but you moved to Midland. God, no. Okay. I'm kidding. Yes, ma'am. The question is, you know, she's confronted with people who have driver's licenses from two states because they say they live or they work in both states. I'm not aware that the Department of Public Safety will allow that. My understanding is that the Department of Public Safety causes you to surrender your driver's license from out of state once you get a Texas driver's license. So probably what happened is they had a Texas driver's license and then they went to another state that had a driver's license from that other state. Is that legal? I don't know. My instinct is to say that if their Texas driver's license is valid and they're using that to drive on Texas in Texas, that's probably okay. But I don't know. I've never really been confronted with that. Okay, let's go back to this. We're going to talk about the various driver's license violations now. We're going to talk about first driving without a driver's license. The elements of that violation are that you're operating a motor vehicle on a Texas highway, you don't have a driver's license issued to you either from Texas or from another jurisdiction, and you're required to hold a driver's license. Sometimes this is called no valid driver's license, but I don't like that term because of the valid part. The issue is not whether the driver's license is valid or not. The issue is whether the driver's license has been issued or not. If a person has to have a driver's license and they don't, then they're driving without a driver's license, period, end of story. If they have a driver's license, but that driver's license is for some reason invalid, then that's a different charge. It's called driving while license invalid. If you take away from anything from this talk, I hope it's that you should try to segment these and group them according to the facts and not try to mix them up and mingle them together by thinking in terms of, well, they were charged with not having a driver's license, but they had a driver's license, but it's not valid, so I'm going to convict them of that. I don't think that's the law. I think you have to change the charge. I think the charge has to be changed to driving while license invalid if they can show you they had a driver's license. And this gets pretty tough for officers on the street, because what do defendants do to officers a lot of times when officers stop them? Did I hear somebody say lie to them? Yes, that's right. They lie to them. They'll say, knowing full well that they have a driver's license, but that driver's license is invalid. No, I don't have a driver's license. So the officer, in good faith, goes ahead and writes them a citation for driving without a driver's license. Sure enough, they come to court. Now, well, no, look, I have a driver's license. He's all crazy. Yeah, I work hard as a prosecutor to figure out, does this person actually have a driver's license or not on no driver's license charges? Okay, next charge. Failure to obtain a Texas driver's license within 30 days. How many of you have actually ever heard of this? Okay, one person has raised their hand. That means the rest of you either haven't heard of it or don't want to raise your hand. I respect both of those points. I honestly didn't really even know about this charge until I was a prosecutor for like 5 years. But what it means is that you're required to have a driver's license. You're operating a motor vehicle on a Texas highway. You don't have a Texas driver's license. and you have a driver's license issued from another state or country, but you've been a resident of Texas for longer than 30 days. That's failure to obtain a Texas driver's license within 30 days. You had that 30-day period to get your Texas driver's license. You didn't. That's a violation. And that's in the Transportation Code, Section 521.029A. This young lady says that she had to, I guess you're a law enforcement or were? Were you law enforcement or are you saying that you've seen citations for that? Okay, they've come, officers have written, this is wrong. Officers have written a citation for failure to obtain a Texas driver's license within 30 days and failure to report change of address within 30 days. Well, that's wrong, and here's why. Failure to report change of address applies to Texas driver's license holders. If they have an out-of-state driver's license, and that's between their state and them. The issue for us with Texas is, are they a resident? If they are, they had 30 days to obtain a Texas driver's license. If they didn't, then the violation should be failure to obtain a Texas driver's license within 30 days. All right, next violation, driving while license invalid. All right, they're operating a motor vehicle on a Texas highway. They have a Texas driver's license. The driver's license is suspended, revoked, canceled, denied renewal, otherwise invalid, right? And it's a Class C misdemeanor. That means, unlike most other driver's license violations, which are punishable by a fine of up to $200, this is punishable by a fine of up to $500, okay? Now, there's a kind of a gap in the law here. If a person has an out-of-state driver's license, let's say they're driving on an Iowa driver's license, but that Iowa driver's license is invalid, what do we charge them with? Well, driving while license invalid applies to Texas driver's licenses. It doesn't apply to out-of-state driver's licenses. So what I instruct my officers to do is charge with driving without a driver's license under the theory that Texas is not going to honor a driver's license from another state when that state would consider that driver's license invalid or wouldn't honor that driver's license. I have a question. Yes, ma'am. I have them charge them with driving without a driver's license. And again, there's a gap in the law here. But I'm a prosecutor, so my job is to present the state's arguments and state's evidence. My argument, my evidence is they have this driver's license, it's invalid in Oklahoma. The public policy argument is that Texas should not honor, would not honor, and the legislature would never require Texas to honor a driver's license from another state when that state considers that driver's license invalid. So for purposes of Texas law, they're driving without a driver's license. Now, have I ever had to make that argument in court? No. But under Texas law, it is. Under Oklahoma law, I have no idea. Okay? Probably, yes. I would say yes. But under Texas law, you're suspended, if you're revoked, you're canceled, if you've been denied renewal for any reason, or otherwise invalid for some other reason that I can't think of, that's an invalid driver's license, all right? Okay, and by the way, just to go back here real quick, let me just flip back here. Driving without a driver's license, if the officer just made a mistake, wrote him a driving without a driver's license charge and they had a driver's license and it was valid at the time, I drop those charges. As a matter of fact, I filed a standard motion to dismiss that the court clerks at the window, if they have the person presents, they're charged with no driver's license and they present a driver's license that's valid, then the court clerks are empowered to drop that by the judge by a standing order and a standing motion to dismiss from me. That's without any fee. The failure to obtain a Texas driver's license within 30 days, that's not for dismissible for compliance after the fact. What I do typically is if they've gotten the driver's license after the fact, I make them pay the court cost and a small fee and send them on their way. Driving while license invalid is not dismissible for compliance. It was invalid, but now it's valid. That's not dismissible for compliance like so many other charges that we're going to see. Okay, let's talk about driving with an expired driver's license. They have a Texas driver's license issued to the person. Operating a motor vehicle on a Texas highway, and the driver's license is expired. Now, I also have come to look at this charge a little bit differently. I also will allow officers, and I will prosecute cases, if somebody's driving with an out-of-state driver's license that's also expired. I think that the statute can be read to include out-of-state driver's licenses as well as Texas driver's licenses, so I prosecute those violations as well. Failure to display a Texas driver's license. They're operating a vehicle on a Texas highway. They have a Texas driver's license. They cannot show it to the officer on demand. And this statute applies only to Texas driver's license holders, Transportation Code Section 521.025A, but other laws require non-residents to have out-of-state driver's licenses in their possessions. So if officers write them failure to display driver's license charges, they have an out-of-state driver's license, I will prosecute those as well under the parallel laws that require non-residents to have their out-of-state driver's license with them. Failure to report change of address or name. They have a driver's license or identification card, and this applies to identification cards too, so be aware of that. The failure to report change of address and name, you have to get your ID address changed and your ID name changed as well. And they fail to report the name change or address change within 30 days, and this applies, as I said, to both Texas driver's license and identification card holders. Violation of driver's license restriction or endorsement. They have a driver's license issued, and DPS has imposed a restriction. And in the paper, I put a list of all the restrictions that and the codes that DPS uses. So if you at some point want to look that over, I got that from DPS. They have A is for the corrective lenses, and there's various lists of them. And if they're violating the restriction, then that's violation of driver's license restriction or endorsement. I want to highlight something because this happens quite sometimes. A driver has an occupational driver's license. Let's say it requires that they only drive to and from work, okay? And an officer spots them driving at a different time when work isn't, you know, like on let's say a holiday or 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that where they weren't working. That's a Class B misdemeanor. Municipal courts don't have jurisdiction over that because they're driving in a violation of restriction on the occupational driver's licenses. So be attuned to that as judges and as clerks because we don't have jurisdiction to prosecute those. Those have to go to a higher level court. Okay, let's talk about some scenarios. Okay, I'm doing good on time, I think. Defendant is stopped for speeding. Defendant cannot produce a driver's license for the officer. What can be charged? A, failure to display a driver's license. B, driving without a driver's license. C, failure to obtain a Texas driver's license within 30 days. D, driving while license invalid. Or E, insufficient information is provided to answer. Shout it out. Okay, I heard A, B. Anybody want C? Somebody said B? Okay. I think the answer is E, and I wrote the question, so let me tell you why. First of all, failure to display a driver's license, well, we don't know that they have a driver's license, okay? We don't know whether they even have a driver's license issued, so how do we know whether they failed to display it? Writing without a driver's license, well, they may have a driver's license, they just may not have had it with them. Failure to obtain a Texas driver's license within 30 days, we don't know what their residency status is or where their driver's license is from or even whether they have a driver's license. Or driving while license invalid, we don't know if they have a driver's license, and if they do, we don't know whether that's invalid or not. So I think there's insufficient information here to provide an answer. And I wanted to highlight this question because I think it's important that when officers have contact with citizens that they kind of delve into this and figure out what is your driver's license status? Do you have one? Where is it from? Is it valid? How long have you resided in Texas? Those sorts of things in order to correctly cite for the violation. Let's do another one. What can be charged? Defendant is stopped for disregarding a stop sign. Defendant cannot produce her driver's license but gives the officer a Texas driver's license number. The driver's license returns is canceled. What can be charged? A, driving without a driver's license. B, driving while license invalid. C, failure to report change of address or name. or D, failure to obtain a Texas driver's license, or failure to display a Texas driver's license, E, A, and B, F, B, and D. Shout it out. Okay, somebody said F, somebody said A. Okay, all right, A, well, we know that they have a driver's license because they have a Texas driver's license number and the officer ran the driver's license and got a return. So driving without a driver's license, they are driving with, they have a driver's license. Not in their possession, but they have a driver's license. B is correct because the driver's license is canceled. So under state law, a canceled driver's license is invalid. C, we don't know anything about their change, whether they have an address or change. D, their failure to display a Texas driver's license, that's, they can be charged with that. So they can be charged with multiple violations, which is why I asked this question. And so the answer is both B and D. So F is correct. All right, next one. What can be charged? Defendant is stopped for failure to yield right-of-way. Defendant cannot produce his driver's license but gives the officer a New Mexico driver's license number. Defendant's insurance card shows a Texas residence. What can be cited? Okay. Driving without a driver's license, failure to report change of address or name, failure to obtain a driver's license within 30 days, failure to display a Texas driver's license, A and B or B and C. Shout it out. Somebody said C. Somebody said B. Any other ones? Okay, y'all are quiet, so that's fine. All right. Well, they have a driver's license because they have a New Mexico driver's license number. The failure to report change of address or name is not correct. Since they have a New Mexico driver's license, this law doesn't apply to them. It only applies to Texas driver's license holders. They've lived in there's an indication that they've lived in Texas. If the officer determines that they've lived here longer than 30 days, then failure to obtain a Texas driver's license within 30 days would be appropriate. And failure to display a Texas driver's license, that's not correct, but you can charge under the parallel statute that requires them to carry their out-of-state driver's license with them. So I would probably cite for failure to obtain a Texas driver's license within 30 days if it turned out that they've lived in Texas longer than 30 days. Otherwise, there's really not a very good answer there. Okay? Okay, driver's license violation, what can be charged? Defendant is stopped for failure to maintain a single lane. Defendant produces a California driver's license. What can be charged? Driving without a driver's license, failure to report change of address or name, failure to obtain Texas driver's license within 30 days, failure to display a Texas driver's license. None of these is appropriate, or more than one of these is appropriate. Okay, I'm hearing B and E and D. All right. Oops, let me go back. Come back. Okay. Well, driving without a driver's license, they do have one, so that can't be right. Failure to report change of address or name, they have a California driver's license, and that law, failure to report change of address or name, only applies to Texas driver's license holders, so that's not correct. Failure to obtain a Texas driver's license within 30 days, we can't really tell because we don't know whether they're residents or not. Failure to display a Texas driver's license, well, they don't have a Texas driver's license, so there's not one for them to display, and they produced a California driver's license. So more than one of these is appropriate. The answer is none of these is appropriate, okay? And this happens a lot. Officers will stop somebody and see some, you know, just think, I've got to cite them for something. They've got this California driver's license. They're driving in Texas. I need to be citing them. That's not always the case. Not every person you run across has committed a violation. All right, defendant is stopped for expired registration. He produces provides a Texas residence and a Mexican driver's license. Mexico has a treaty with the United States for reciprocal driving privileges. What can be cited? A, nothing. B, driving without a driver's license. C, failure to report change of address or name. D, failure to obtain a Texas driver's license within 30 days, or insufficient information is provided to answer. Well, I think the answer is E, insufficient information. What we would need to know is how long have they resided in Texas. If they've resided longer than 30 days, then they had to obtain a Texas driver's license. Otherwise, they have a driver's license. The failure to report change of address or name doesn't apply to them because they don't have a Texas driver's license. So E, insufficient information is provided. All right, let's talk real quick about compliance dismissals and then we're done. I've broken these up into two parts. One is proof of compliance before the citation and the other is the group is proof of compliance after the citation. If they were in compliance at the time of citation, they just didn't have the thing with them. This requires a motion to dismiss from the prosecutor and In our court, we use standing motions to dismiss and standing orders of dismissal so the clerk can dismiss them at the window. And they include driving without a driver's license. If they had a valid driver's license at the time, then I authorize the court to drop those charges either in court or at the window. And then failure to display a Texas driver's license, the law makes it a defense to the charge if they can present a valid driver's license, then they can, that's issued to them, and it's appropriate for that vehicle, and it was valid at the time of the citation, then they can drop that charge, and there's a $10 dismissal fee that you're permitted to collect under state law. So those are both charges that need prosecutorial effort. So if your prosecutor hasn't issued you a standing motion to dismiss these at the window, my recommendation is that you go ahead and get one from him or her. And then there's proof of compliance after the citation. These don't require any motion from the state. State law authorizes the judge or the court to dismiss these charges upon proof of compliance after the fact. So if they were charged with driving with an expired driver's license, but they have proof that the driver's license was renewed within 20 working days or before their first court appearance, and in our court, what we do is we make the first court appearance within 20 working days. So we kind of harmonized all the laws, the various times that are in the statute, to be 20 working days. So if the person gets it done within 20 working days, then the court can dismiss that charge and may impose a fee permissible of up to $20. And then a failure to report change of address or name, if they have proof the driver's license was changed within 20 working days, then the court may impose a fee of up to $20. And driving in violation of a restriction or endorsement, if that restriction or endorsement was removed before the defendant's first court appearance, and the court has to collect a $10 fee for that. Those are all things that the court can do without state intervention at all on the court's own initiative, and the judge can sign standing orders for the clerks to do that at the window. Any questions on this? Yes, sir. I'm not sure. The question is, he has folks bringing him letters from the state, from DPS, I'm imagining, saying that the driver's license really wasn't invalid. Is that right?
We're having the same problem.
Okay. I'm going to need to see that letter because the letters I've seen have said something along the lines of, you know, this person had, you know, some surcharges and we removed those, but it wasn't reflected on their record, and so their driver's license wasn't really invalid. But it's not those I can understand, but I'm having trouble visualizing the letter you're thinking about here. Yes, ma'am.
A reference that we had in our city and department was small, and for a while I also ran the driver's license attorney who was coming from my past day, but they were having a lot of confusion when they would get a deal back that would make suspended or come back to the ballot. So we would give them that return if they didn't ask why.
I think I know what she's saying, and I think the situation here is somebody has their driver's license suspended for, let's say, 90 days. And at the end of the 90 days, DPS charges them a reinstatement fee, and they don't pay that reinstatement fee. There's a court case that's held that their driver's license is no longer suspended, even though the reinstatement fee hasn't been paid. So DPS, honoring that court opinion, has said that the driver's license is no longer invalid, even though the reinstatement fee hasn't been paid. And what they've told me about that is that once the driver's license is up for renewal and the person comes in, they'll collect the reinstatement fee there. So it's not invalid for that reason. So you may be seeing those types of letters. And if that's the case and that's their interpretation, as a prosecutor, I don't prosecute those cases because I don't agree with them about that. I still think that the driver's license is invalid, but who am I to argue with them? So I don't. Any other questions?
We've gone over a little bit. I want you to get some break here, but we need to stay with the other tracks. So why don't we take about a 10-minute break here, a little less, actually. Try to be in here, but if you're going to stay in here, be here at 5 after for status offenses. Track A is just across the hall for the judges.